To turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul, of course, is writing to Timothy, and Timothy had become a close associate with Paul during Paul's second missionary journey. In his first letter to Timothy, Paul seeks to give him guidance and encouragement, as Timothy was the overseer of the work there in Ephesus. In this second letter, Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy as one who knows that his days on earth are quickly drawing to a close. And we see in 2 Timothy a greater sense of urgency as Paul seeks to again challenge Timothy and to strengthen him to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. In this second chapter, before we get to our text, we want to notice that Paul uses some metaphors to paint a picture of what the child of God ought to be. He speaks in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The life of a child of God should be that of a teacher. That is, our lives ought to be instructive for good, instructive to others. Just the way we live ought to serve as good instruction to everyone who knows us. We see in verse 3 and 4, he speaks of a soldier. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And every child of God should possess the qualities of a soldier that is pleasing to the one they represent. To be a soldier means that our life has a very definite cause. Means that we have a very definite purpose in mind. This should be true of all God's people. Thirdly, in verse 5, he says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." It's talking about an athlete. And always pushing forward, always striving toward the goal. And our goal is Jesus Christ. Our goal is conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And we ought to always be pushing and striving toward that goal. Verse 6, he talks about the husbandman, the farmer that laboreth, must be first partaker of his fruits. Always waiting, always depending upon the Lord is that husbandman. And our lives ought to be that as well. In verse 15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman," or a laborer. Always doing, always working for the Lord. That ought to be our life. And then in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." The life of a child of God should be that of a faithful servant. We ought to live our lives as the very servants of God. With all this being said, we see also in this chapter there are encouragements to help us live such a life. We see in verse 1, that there is a fountain of strength that is available to us. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to draw from that fountain of strength every single day. We have a living Savior. We see in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Remember that. Don't ever forget it. That Jesus Christ lives. Again, we're not just serving an idea. We're not just serving a doctrine. We're not just serving a philosophy. But we have a risen, living, all-powerful Lord. We need to remember that. We see in verse 9 that the Word of God is still everything that it ever was. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. It is everything that it ever was. This ought to encourage us to live a life that we're called to live. Not only that, God is still everything that He's always been. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet He. And I like that, if we, yet He. That's always so. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And then we say also to encourage us in these matters, the purposes of God are still as sure as they ever were. In verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So these encouragements ought to help us to live the lives that Paul pictures in this chapter. But there's one more metaphor that we want to look at tonight in describing the child of God's life, and that is that of a vessel. We want to read tonight in verses 19 through verse 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to dishonor, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, those of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now those words follow what was said in verse 18. And what was said in verse 18, and overthrow the faith of some. The faith of some will be overthrown. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God will never be less than what it's always been. God will never be less than what He's always been. No matter how many people's faith is overthrown, God remains. And though the faith of some will be overthrown, there are some, this is always so, there are some who hold fast. And they are like vessels of gold in vessels of silver. These are vessels unto honor. So though the faith of some will be overthrown, there are still vessels of honor. I want to draw your attention tonight to verse 21. A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In addition to the picture that Paul has already painted of what a child of God should be, You and I ought to earnestly desire to be a vessel. To be a vessel of silver. To be a vessel of gold. To be a vessel that is described here in verse 21. Yes, our lives ought to depict that of a soldier. Our lives ought to depict that of a servant. And our lives ought to be instructive. But oh, how we ought to desire to be this vessel that is described in verse 21. So we want to speak this evening briefly on vessels for the master. Vessels for the master. You notice these vessels. Some are plain, they're wood and earth, used for dishonorable things, perhaps taking out the trash or whatever. But then there are other vessels. Vessels of gold. Vessels of silver. And I believe each one of these vessels of gold and vessels of silver that we ought to desire to be, they're engraved. They are each engraved. If you look on these vessels, you will see that each one of them is engraved. Notice again in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, having this mark. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And I've circled and put a star next to that word, his. That's the engraving upon each one of these vessels. His. That's true of each one of us that know the Lord. We're marked. We're simply marked his. I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to anybody or anything. I'm his. There's no greater honor. There's no greater blessing than to be his. Each one of these vessels of gold, each one of these vessels of silver, have this mark. His. Always remember who you belong to. You're tempted to live in sin. Remember who you belong to. Never forget it. You're tempted to go into worldly and questionable places. Remember who you belong to. You're his. Always remember that. Never forget who you represent. That being said, notice in, if you keep a mark there and turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. The Lord has saved Saul and as he was on the road heading to Damascus. He has instructed Ananias to go to Saul. And in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel. And it's not just he's a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel unto me. In other words, Ananias, he's mine. He is a chosen vessel unto me to do something. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Each one of these vessels of gold and of silver that we read of in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a chosen vessel. Chosen by the Master. Chosen with this mark.
His.
We believe in the doctrine of election. It's taught all through the Word of God. But remember, with the doctrine of election comes that engraving, His. If He has chosen you, you belong to Him. A chosen vessel with this mark. His. Each one of these vessels of gold and silver that we read of here in 2 Timothy 2 and 21 are vessels of mercy. Notice Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. The vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. So I am a before prepared vessel of mercy, destined for glory, with this mark, His. Each one of these vessels of gold and silver have been made different from what we read in Romans 9, verse 22. And there we read of the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. There are vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. And there are vessels of mercy. Why aren't I a vessel of wrath? Because of mercy. Because of God's mercy. Therefore, I'm different than the vessels of wrath. I haven't made the difference. The difference is the mercy of God and what God has done in His mercy in preparing us for glory. So these vessels of gold and of silver are made different than the vessels of wrath. Certainly you can see a difference between a vessel of gold and a vessel of wood and a vessel of clay. Certainly you can see a difference between a vessel of silver and a vessel of wood and of clay. And what has made the difference? Mercy. The grace of God. What this means is, I am different. As a vessel of gold and silver, I am different from a vessel of clay and wood. And I am different by design. I am different by the design of God. And I have this mark. His. His. I belong to Him. Don't even try to defend sinful practices. Don't even try to defend a sinful lifestyle. As a child of God, you are a vessel of mercy. You are His. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, we want to consider the vessels that we ought to desire to be. Because these vessels described here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21 depict a way of life. This is about a way of life. And this should be our aspiration. This should be our goal. The aspiration and goal of one who has been chosen as a vessel of mercy, who has been made different from the vessels of wood and clay. We ought to desire what we read here in verse 21. Notice again that what we read here in verse 21 speaks of life. It speaks of a way of living. It speaks of a life of honor. Verse 21, a vessel
unto honor. A vessel unto honor. Anyone who is a vessel of mercy. Anyone who is a chosen vessel of God ought to desire to be a vessel unto honor. What this means is this pictures a life of virtue. A life of purity. It ought to be our desire to be a vessel of honor. Why would we want to be a vessel of wood and clay? We ought to desire to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of virtue, a vessel of purity. This speaks of a life of distinction. We are different from the vessels of wood and of earth to dishonor. The vessels of wood and earth are to dishonor. The vessels of gold and silver are an honor. And we ought to desire to have a life distinctly different from that which is disgraceful and shameful. To be a dishonor is to be a disgrace. To be a dishonor is to be shameful. It is to bring shame. We are to be a vessel of honor. A chosen vessel of mercy with this mark. His. Ought to desire to live a life of honor. We see also that this speaks of a life of sanctity. Notice it says, a vessel unto honor, sanctified. A vessel unto honor, sanctified. The primary meaning of sanctification is to be set apart. To be set apart for holy uses. To be set apart for God. In the Old Testament, they sanctified property. That is, it was set apart for God. They set aside all types of things. They sanctified all types of things. What it simply means is they set it apart for the Lord. We that are vessels of mercy ought to desire to be set apart for God. Reserved for God. Dedicated to God. Be careful how you live your life. Live your life with this thought in mind. I am reserved for God. I have been reserved for God. And therefore I am dedicated to God. So as a chosen vessel of mercy with this mark, his, it ought to be the longing of our hearts to be set apart and reserved for God. Thirdly, we see we have a life here of suitability. A vessel unto honor. Vessel unto virtue and purity and distinction. Sanctified, set apart and reserved for God, dedicated to God, and meet, and fitting. This speaks of a life that is suitable for a vessel of gold and silver. There is a life that is suitable for a vessel of gold and silver. Just as there is a life suitable for wood and clay. You do not put garbage in a vessel of gold and silver. And yet many today, that's how they live their lives. I'm talking about God's people. They live garbage pail lives. And yet they claim to be vessels of gold and of silver. No, our lives are to be suitable. Suitable for what God has made us for. A life of honor. A life of sanctity. A life suitable for its greatest function. And what is our greatest function? To be set apart for God. To be used for God. To do this, to be suitable, we must purge ourselves. Verse 21. from the influence of that which is dishonorable. And we must flee, we must run away from youthful lusts. Verse 22. And we must follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Verse 22. So as a chosen vessel of mercy, with this mark, his, it ought to be my longing to have a life suitable and appropriate for what my life was designed for. For his honor, for his glory. It also speaks of a life of usefulness. A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, suitable and appropriate for, that is with regard to, the master's use. Suitable and appropriate with regard to the master's use. This speaks of a life serviceable to God. A life productive to God. Suitable in regard to the master's use. That's a profitable life. That is a beneficial life. However God can use us, we ought to desire to be used. It's not for you and I to pick. We're just a vessel. It's not for you and I to pick how we'll be used. That's his business. But it ought to be our desire to be used. It's not up to us to pick where we'll be used. We belong to him. And the master picks where he will use his vessel. It's not even up to us when we will be used. We're just a vessel. The master, he decides how we'll be used, where we'll be used, when we'll be used. It ought to just thrill our souls that he'll use us. And that ought to be the desire of our heart. A vessel of gold and silver. It ought to be our longing to be used of him. We see also this speaks of a life of availability. A vessel unto honor. Virtue and purity and distinction. Sanctified, set apart, reserved for God, dedicated to God. And meet, that is, suitable and appropriate. For with regards to the master's use. And then notice what it says. And prepared. And prepared. That means ready. Unto every good work. As a chosen vessel of mercy. With this mark. His. It ought to always be our heart's desire. To be available for the Lord. Don't do anything that would make you unavailable for the Lord. Don't do anything that would make you unavailable right now. We are to be always be prepared for every good work. A vessel. A vessel is property. We've already said we have engraved upon us his. We are property. We are the property of God. A vessel can be used to receive. The master puts into the vessel whatever he wants to. A vessel is made to receive. We are vessels of gold and silver, vessels of mercy, chosen vessels of God. And as such, we're able to receive. We're able to receive from God. But a vessel also is used to dispense. And may I say, it can only dispense what it receives. And when a vessel of God receives of God, it can now dispense of those things. A vessel of gold and of silver. He talks about in verse 20, in a great house. That is, in a mansion, there are vessels. And those vessels of gold and silver, they add beauty. They're of use. They're not just there for looks. Because the master so chooses, he can put into that vessel whatever he pleases. And then he can pour out of that vessel whatever he pleases. But these vessels of gold and silver add beauty to the house. There is no greater house today than the Lord's church. And our lives ought to add beauty to the Lord's church. And I believe the life that is described here in verse 21 will add beauty to the Lord's church. The truth is, a church can only be as beautiful as God's people. And I'm not talking about physical looks. But a church can only be as beautiful as the saints of God that make up that assembly. And as a vessel, we ought to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And then we ought to dispense the same. We the saved, we are chosen vessels. Vessels of mercy. We ought to always long to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, and prepared unto every good work. How do we do this? How do we live this life that is described in verse 21? Well, we're told how to do it all through this chapter. We see in verse 1, we're to draw strength from the Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're to draw our strength. If we want to be suitable, if we want to be useful and available, that requires strength. That requires the strength of God. To be what we see here in verse 21, we have to be faithful to and use the truth that you have learned. You know, through the years, it's not so much, I'm not saying that it's not important what you know, but again, it's a matter of emphasis. And through the years, I have known people who know much. They know the Word of God in their minds. They know doctrine. They know the truths. Then I've known other individuals, they know very little. And I've known some who know much, and they do not use what they know. And I've known some who know very, very little, but they use the little they know. Who's better off? Who's better off? Who honors and glorifies the Lord the most? The one who uses what they have. So it's not so much what we know. It's how much we use what we know. And he states here in verse 2, that you are to commit thou to faithful men what you've been taught. That is, Use what you know. We're to endure in verse 3. We're not to become entangled in the affairs of this life in verse 4. We can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. And the affairs of this life, many times when people read that, they just think of bad things. We can't become entangled in anything. Good, bad, or otherwise. That will take us from the service of God. We're not to allow our lives to be entangled with anything. We're to live our life by God's rules. We see in verse 5, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He's not going to get the prize for winning the race unless he's followed the rules. If we want to be this, if we want to live this life described in verse 21, we have to live by God's rules. And we live in a world today who wants to make their own rules. Many of God's people, they want to live by their own rules. Go ahead. And you'll ruin your life. And you'll never be a vessel unto honor. You'll never be a vessel sanctified meet for the Master's use. You have to live by His rules. Verse 15 tells us that we're to study the Word of God. Again, I believe this is all part of how we achieve the life that is described in verse 21. And we must have a proper attitude towards sin. With regard to sin, there are five very, very important words in this chapter. Notice verse 16. But shun. Shun. To shun is to deliberately and habitually avoid. We are to shun sin. We are to deliberately avoid it. We are to deliberately go out of our way to get away from it. We're to shun it. This is how we live a life unto honor. Notice verse 19. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart. Meaning to go away, to turn aside, and to leave. We are to shun sin. We are to depart from sin. Verse 21, we have the word purge, meaning to cleanse and to remove. Verse 22, we have the word flee, which means to run away from, and implies a degree of fear. There's little fear today of sin. Little fear today of temptation. Because let me tell you, if you fear something, you will flee from it. And we are to flee from those lusts that would lead in sin. And then another word that we see in verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Avoid. Knowing that they do gender. Realize that sin does gender. And avoid it. To avoid something is to keep away from it. It is to refrain from it. So in order to live a life of honor, in order to live a life of sanctity, in order to live a life of usefulness, in order to be available to God, sin must be dealt with. We must shun it. We must depart from it. We must purge it. We must flee from it. We must avoid it. We must flee all thoughts of sin. We must depart from all thoughts of sin, all occasion to sin, all temptation to sin. Why? Because of what sin is. It is rebellion against God. Flee from it. Because of what sin does, flee from it. This is a beautiful life that is described here in verse 21. But if we're going to live this life, You have to deal. You have to deal with your own sin. You have to avoid it at all cost. So as a chosen vessel of mercy, with this mark, His. Love to just think about that word, His. I belong to Him. And as a chosen vessel, with this mark, His, out of desire, out of long, to live the life that is described here in verse 21. First of all, tonight, if you're saved, realize that you are a chosen vessel unto God. That means that God, on purpose and with purpose, picked you. That's amazing. This has to be mercy, because there's nothing in us. Therefore, we're called vessels of mercy. What do we deserve? We deserve to be a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. But because of God's grace and mercy, we are vessels of mercy. That means we're not just a common vessel. We're not just a common vessel of wood and clay. But we're special. Not because of anything in us, but because of the Master, because of His mercy. We're vessels of gold, vessels of silver. That means that we have special uses. That means the Master is going to use us in a way that He would not use a vessel of wood and a vessel of clay. He uses us differently. He even looks upon us differently. He even places us in a different place. He has plans for those vessels of gold and of silver. And oh, how we ought to long to be a vessel for the Master's use. That ought to be the goal of our life. I just want to be used of God in any way. Doesn't really matter. Just want to be used of God. It's not like, oh, I would like to do such and such for God. No, our attitude ought to be, I just want to be used. And it doesn't matter how. If God so chooses to just use me to vacuum the rugs in the church, I just want to be used. However it is, that ought to be our desire. I just want to be used. Because here I am, a vessel of mercy, headed for glory. Amen. With this mark, His. Amen. And I just want to be used for Him. And if God just uses us for one thing, if God just uses us for one thing in our whole life, what a blessing. What a blessing to be used one time. I believe God will use us more than one time. But oh, what a blessing. What a blessing just to be used. What a blessing to be able to tell someone about Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. That's to be used. We ought to desire to be used of the Master in our families, in our homes, in our school, in our job. And certainly if we've been placed in the Master's house, we ought to desire to be used however the Master would use us.
in his house. What an honor. What an honor to be a vessel of mercy, a chosen vessel of God. Think about that tonight. If you're saved, you've been chosen, and you're his, and God will use you. Just think about that tonight. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.